Greetings, Psyonauts. It is February 3rd, 2016, and on this week's episode of Observations, I have Gabby Dunn back in the studio, back in the Sov Pod. So Gabby was here back in October talking about what it's like to be a YouTube star, and then a couple months ago, she wrote an article for Fusion where she talked about the reality of how much money YouTube stars make, or more accurately, how much money they don't make. I thought the article was really fascinating. You very rarely see people being honest about the kind of money they make and how they earn a living in the creative arts. And I thought it was a wonderful opportunity to have her back on and to sort of address all the things that we didn't address the first time she was on, which is how does one really make a living as an artist? So I hope you enjoy today's episode, and we're off. Greetings, Psyonauts, and welcome to this week's episode of Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire. I'm brought to you by the Bon Vivants and Ne'er-Do-Wells at julieland.com, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Richard Avery.
Good afternoon.
Have you done anything legendary today?
No, I haven't, actually. I've only had 3 donuts.
You need to work on that. You need to, like, you know, keep the image alive.
I know.
You've got to keep the legend going.
Well, the good thing is I showed some discipline. I actually wanted to eat 5 of them, and I stopped at 3.
It used to be that, like, all my friends, in order to be cool, like, you had to get a tattoo, and now it's like, in order to be cool, you have to have, like, your own therapist. That's how time flies.
You gotta have people.
My guest today is Gabby Dunn.
Oh, hello. I didn't know if I was allowed to talk yet.
Yeah.
So. hello.
So you've been with us before, and now I wanted to have you back because things have changed. Things, like, well, time has passed, so...
Yeah,
it's been a couple months.
So. I feel like it's very weird, especially because, like, the new year just happened, and I'm always like, nothing's ever different. But then it is. Like, if you look back, things are different. But for some reason, I always feel like nothing's changed. Everything's the same. But, like, it has. I'm just an Eeyore about it. Like, I'm like, why aren't I eating caviar on a plane? And it's like, because stuff has changed. It just hasn't changed to where you're eating caviar on a private jet. It's fine.
I mean, it does feel incremental. It's like, I always feel like I'm sort of kicking against the pricks, but then, like, I'll be driving down the freeway and, like, my car with my dog in the back, and I'm like, oh, I remember when, like, I didn't have the emotional capacity to, like, take care of myself, let alone something else, you know?
You didn't have a car. No, yeah.
But, well, I mean, like, yeah, but, like, it's, but then I'll sit in my apartment and go, like, oh, you know, like, I've actually come quite a distance from where I was, say, 5 years ago, like,
yeah,
in, like, a shoebox apartment in New York City, like, living with a hoarder. Like,
I think it's because we've been ourselves the whole time that we haven't been able to see it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I get, like, weirdly depressed where I'm like, everything's the same. Look at me. I'm still cooking pasta. And it's like, what, are you going to not cook pasta for the rest of your life in some hope that, like, your life is different? Yeah, you know how to make the same recipes. That's okay.
Right.
Very, like, I get, like, down in the dumps around this time.
But, like, things have changed.
Cheer up, people. Relax.
I know.
Richard's just, like, sitting there, like,
you guys,
you're going to give us a lecture about kids today.
Yeah, exactly.
I yelled at my boyfriend's mom was like, oh, are you going to order this dish? We were out to dinner, and he was like, no, Mom, I haven't ordered that dish in, like, 5 years. And he had that, like, sass with his mom. And I was like, hold on. For her, 5 years was like 2 seconds ago. Like, you're acting like for you, because you're 27, 5 years seems like forever. But for her, she's like, you ordered that dish 5 years ago. Like, blink of an eye. That was 2 seconds ago. Like, your tastes have changed. Like I think when you're older, time becomes much smaller. So when your kids sass you, like, I haven't liked that in a year. It's like, to them, a year was like,
the last time they saw you.
The last time you sneezed, yeah. Like, it's not anything.
The last time you called.
Right.
But it's true, though. You don't understand. The older you get, the faster time goes by. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, someday you will wake up one day going, oh my God, I'm 40. What happened?
That is never going to happen. Ever.
Yeah, we have a Jonestown suicide pact. We will never reach 40.
As long as I can control my profiles on the internet, I will never turn 40.
Yeah, I'm just 24 forever.
Yeah, dream on.
Yeah, I don't know how long I've been 26, but...
20. I'm just get younger and younger. Yeah. 22.
You guys, there you go. Lie to yourselves.
You can be like, you're 18 if you're a day to me, so.
Thank you. I can play high school, right? I'm just like putting it out there. Hey guys, can definitely play high school. Yeah. Keep me in mind.
So one of the reasons I wanted to have you back is because you wrote this article that went kind of, I hate the word viral, but it got like a lot of retweets. I saw it popping on the timeline.
It got a lot of attention. Very surprised.
You were sort of like very, what do they call it? Like Polly Pry. Who is the reporter that was like the investigative journalist?
Helen Thomas.
That's a little bit too modern of a reference. Wow. But yeah.
She's dead, isn't she?
Yeah, she died recently. But well,
what's his face? Upton Sinclair.
There was a chick.
Two references.
Polly Pry from like Cannibal the Musical by the Trey Parker and Matt Stone. History, I love it. That's a musical about the first man ever convicted of cannibalism in the United States in Colorado. Done by Matt Parker and Trey Stone, like when they were in college.
I know this.
But the reporter in the investigative journalist, and that is Polly Pry.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm like.
So you were like Polly Pry, with a wide vocal range and ingenue good looks that falls in love with a cannibal.
Thank you.
And then after that, writes an article about how much money people actually make when they are social media stars, YouTube stars.
I just got frustrated because there's a disconnect. Like Allison and I, my comedy partner and I have a channel together called Just Between Us, and we have like over 500,000 subscribers. And that didn't start translating into money until quite recently. And then even then it didn't translate into like money to live. And I think I also... Coming out to LA, I don't want to generalize LA, but coming out to LA, I was surprised by how many people had money from their families and I don't. And I kind of had this naivete of like, and I'll come out here and I'll be talented and that's all that'll matter. And like that kind of thing. And then I was like, oh, these people like are making their short film or doing this because they already have like money.
It's from, mommy and daddy.
They have a cushion
already that I didn't have. So I thought, okay, well, we'll like do this social media stuff and I'll make money. And I have had jobs. I worked as a journalist for a very long time. And I talk about in the article doing a courier stuff. So I've had jobs. It's not like I like expected to not do anything, but then the channel is also like a full-time job.
Right.
And you're paying a crew and you're paying for props and costumes and this kind of stuff to keep the quality of it up, to keep it growing. So it's like a lot of stuff gets invested back into the channel. So that's become a company. Like we started now Gallison LLC, which is our production company. But I didn't realize, like I say in the article, you would be better served getting a business degree than you would like a screenwriting degree or like a film degree.
I could have told you this 30 years ago.
I know.
I could have saved you a lot.
No, I mean, I didn't know. I went to school for journalism because I thought I was going to be a reporter. Right.
But I've said for years to everybody I've ever met that's going into college or anybody that's coming, I always tell everybody, take business classes. Because business classes can be applied to anything you do in life.
When I was graduating, I went to Emerson. And when I went for journalism and I was going to be a crime reporter, which I did for a while. And it was very funny because when the article came out, people that knew me from YouTube were like, oh my God, she writes articles? And I was like, yeah, that's literally what my degree is in. I don't want to burst your bubble, but like I'm a reporter by trade. But anyway, when I was going into journalism school, when I graduated, they had started requiring kids to take business classes because it's an art school and they were like, everyone's screwed when they get out of there. And then also when I was going into journalism school, I had a couple people say to me, you shouldn't go to journalism school because you already know how to write articles. So you should go to business school either to like help promote your articles or you should go to school for whatever you want to write about. So like criminal justice or something. And I was like, pish posh, that's stupid. Now I'm like, maybe it wasn't. That's not stupid. I was like, I'm a journalist. I need to go to journalism school. And now I'm like, well, maybe that was stupid.
Well, that's the same way. When I was young, I felt the same way. I don't need to take this business classes. I want to be a photographer. But I didn't know that
That's when you business. Especially need to take business
I know.
Classes.
I didn't know. I just thought the world would bow at my feet and
I just
pay
didn't,
for me to
yeah,
take pictures.
I mean, there was like, and I think mostly I was frustrated because there's a group of fans. There's like fans that are so young and have never had to pay for anything probably, but also they just don't understand. So they would be like, you're rich because you're on YouTube. Yeah. And I'd be like, how, explain to me how I'm making money from YouTube. And they'd say, literally like on Twitter in reference to this article, one girl was like, YouTube pays you. And I was like, no, they don't. She was like, yes, YouTube pays you a salary to make YouTube videos. And I was like, oh my God, is that what you think? Like, no, all of this is for free, maybe even negative into our bank accounts at first because we were paying people and we didn't have any money. Like, no, like YouTube is not paying us any salary to be there. And so it's this idea, I was trying to explain to someone, it's this idea of like when you got a TV show in the 90s and people were like, oh my God, you got a TV show, like you're set. It's like they think of us as the stars of their TV shows, mm-hmm. only we're not backed by a network or anything. We're doing this on our own for free. So they were like, they didn't have the mental like steps to go, how are they making money?
Well, I think that's too like a disconnect, even like to relate it back to porn. Mm-hmm. As it's like people, like I'll have fans talk to me about going and watching my videos on tube sites.
Yeah.
And It's like they don't understand that we don't make any money
from that. Yeah.
They just assume that if it's on the tube site, the companies that made the videos must be getting paid.
Right. Or they'll think visibility is money. So they'll be like, I've seen her a lot, so that must equal dollars.
Right.
And it's like, okay, where are those dollars exactly coming from?
Right. Well, it's like a fan that's like, you have 100,000 followers, like you must never struggle to pay your rent. And I was like, if all of those followers were giving me $1
right,
a
but,
year, like
but
to, if my
very
yeah,
rare.
If they were if my followers if every follower I had paid me $1 a year to follow my Twitter, like I would be fine. But it's that thing where, but that's a perfect example of that disconnect. It's mm-hmm. like, but you have 100,000 followers, mm-hmm. therefore,
well, you got
you must not ever struggle,
right? But like, you got to understand that I've been around this country a lot for many years. Like the people outside the what I call the LA bubble and the entertainment bubble. They don't know, so they just assume. I can understand kids assuming that because they see you on YouTube, they must think, oh, they must make money for this. Or
so much of that is unpaid.
No, I know it is. Yeah. I was telling you, I've run Julie Land for 10 years. I haven't made 10 cents, so mm-hmm. I get that. But it's like, but it's outside the bubble, though. They especially kids, and they're growing right. up with the internet, are looking at it like, well, how else would they be on if they're not getting paid?
What really bothered me, though, was not just that misconception, but the vitriol and resentment that came as a result of it. The way that people would comment and say, you're rich, fuck you. Or like, oh, you have like, you have a sponsored video, like get that YouTube money, I guess. Like this like weird smug,
so
sure of themselves that I'm a piece of shit for making money for a job that I'm doing. Like, it's this very, like on a high horse, looking down and being like, oh, you're making videos and you're like getting sponsorships. Like you used to be cool, but now you're not.
Well,
like
let's back it up.
Weird,
let's
like,
back it up. So, like,
so
for,
rude.
So for people that are kind of uninitiated, so you have a show on YouTube mm-hmm. called Just Between Us, mm-hmm. and it's sort of like a sketch kind of
the sketch show,
sort of a
yeah.
sketch show.
Monday, Thursday, we post twice a week.
So
which
you
is
update
incredible
twice a week
for
free.
Yeah, we update twice a week for free, and it's a lot. No, a lot of YouTubers don't update that much.
That's a
so
lot.
So for people that like people that are uninitiated, it's like to shoot a show takes you write a script, you have people come in and light it, record it. Then when
sound
you're done
recording,
yeah, like then when you're done recording for the day, then someone has to go in and edit it, which is like its own thing.
There's an editor, yeah.
Then you upload it, and then there's the matter of like promoting it on the various networks, mm-hmm. like once it's gone. So like even just like with this podcast, like it can feel like a full-time job just to be like, here's the blog update, here's the thing, here's summarizing what was on the podcast. Like even, and here's, now I'm going to tweet about it this many, like even that,
day,
like just feels
I also will take the sketch and research themes of the sketch and what blogs or would be interested in those themes and then write up press releases and email them out to try to get okay. press for the videos. Like, there's a lot that goes into it.
It's okay, so all job. That's so all that,
and I edit as well. We sure. have an editor for our Thursday shows, but for the Monday shows, I'm editing those.
So, so you're doing all that for free. That goes up on YouTube. You get subscribers, and one of the things is the way YouTube works is after you get a certain number. Like, explain the whole thing about advertising and like what the actual revenue from advertising is like for a show like yours.
So there's AdSense, which is the videos that play before the commercials that play before videos. However, a lot of people have ad blocker installed, and a lot of people skip the ad. So that when those two things are happening, we don't see any money from that. AdSense will make, and then plus the other thing is Allison and I are two people. So we split everything. So we'll make a certain amount from AdSense, very little. I mean, maybe like $3,000. We split it. Then it's $1,500. Then we have to use, we basically use that to pay the crew.
Right.
So like we'll pay the crew for any given sketch day around like $500, $600, maybe more. And then because the crew is usually like three people, four people, mm-hmm. depending. And if we have outside actors, also that is stuff too. And then, so that'll eat into that. And then we'll also, so AdSense is very little. Oh, also we're part of a multi-channel network who helps us get ads. So they take 30%. So then we also, so then on top of that, the way that to make money is for us to do sponsored videos, which is when a company will sponsor a certain video and we'll have to say, you know, this video is sponsored by Lisa Mattress or this video is sponsored by Audible or whatever. You've heard it on podcasts. Like almost all podcasts have it.
Stamps.com.
Stamps.com. Sherry's Berries. Whatever. Yeah. The thing is that for some reason on podcasts, it's like fine. I don't really see anyone like bitching about it. But and Allison and I also have never done a video where we just did a sponsor. Like if we have a sponsor for and we're required to do a sponsor for 30 seconds and our videos are usually 3 minutes long of original content, we'll do a 3 minute and 30 second long. We'll do the whole video. Like we know we write around it or we script it out or we make it funny. Like we don't ever scrimp on the actual content. Like you're never going to see a video on our channel that's just an ad.
Right.
And that is hard because there's always like the companies will come to us and the option will be, you can just read our copy. And like we could sit down and just read their copy and we wouldn't have to do any extra work. But because our fans are such nitpicking assholes, I love them, but because they are, I love them to death, but because they are like that and they'll give us so much shit or they'll unsubscribe or whatever, we feel pressured to write our own whole script based around this product. And that takes time. And that's a whole script.
Right.
And then we have to shoot that whole script because we didn't just want to do the minimum amount of work.
Right.
And then still, even after doing that, they don't understand and they're rude in the comments.
But do you think it's like everyone, because I think everyone clings to the sort of the success stories of someone like Jenna Marbles. And I don't think sure. they understand that she's like an outlier.
But also, I'm sure she does sponsored stuff. I mean, I just watched all the Rose Bowl or whatever, the games, the bowl games, the football games. They're called like the All-State Bowl or like this is the like taxpayer.com bowl or whatever. And like, why is no one pissed about that? Like in order to watch your football, it has to be sponsored by like bullfrogs.com or whatever the hell.
Let me explain here a great analogy that I have hear this and sure. I think about 25 years ago and I think about all my friends back in the day who were all punk rock.
Yeah.
And they were all punk rock and it was like, fuck the man, DIY.
Sure.
We don't care. We're never going to sell out. Fuck this shit. And all the bands that got successful and got record deals and made millions of dollars like a Nirvana or like a Pearl Jam or whoever yeah. took off. There's all the punk rock kids going, fuck them. They sold out. Motherfuckers, pussies. They got pissed yeah. off. And what happens is, and I told them 25 years ago, get off your lazy asses and sell out now because 25 years from now, you're not going to have anything. And they didn't think that way. Now those people that are all fucked that are now working at Starbucks, right. getting coffee, working at UPS as UPS drivers because they were so intent being pure and punk rock. And not, I mean, I'm not saying sell out, but there's a way to make money.
I don't
and
even
do
see
your,
it as selling out because we're still making
either.
The videos.
No, I don't either, but I'm just saying it's an ability.
They see it as selling
but
out.
But I think it's like the nature too of YouTube and social media, which is this big premium on this idea of authenticity, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of like we've accepted that MTV is a huge corporation conglomerate kind of thing. And we've sort of accepted that. And I think part of the popularity of YouTube and social media is the same reason that like indie record labels became popular in the 90s, which was people were sort of responding against sort of this like highly commercialized 1980s like
corporate
metal
rock
kind
horrors.
Of, yeah, like the big sort of arena rock of the 80s, people were like responding to that. Like they, it was like a, and like I think the popularity of YouTube has been people responding to like sort of the slickness and the network TV and all that stuff, like people responding against kind of like all of the like $1 million budgets and da da da. You know what I mean? Like people kind of like.
Yeah, but then they don't even know what they're talking about because if we don't have perfect audio that we've paid a sound guy to do, they're furious.
Right.
So where do they think that that perfect audio and money, like where do they think that comes from? And if they're like, your audio's no good, we're super mad and we're going to destroy you in the comments. And it's like, okay, well then we had to do that Lisa Mattress sponsorship so that we could have the money to pay our sound guys so you could have your perfect audio. You right. can't have it both ways.
Well, I think
and also, like our channel is like it's very well produced. It's always like sort of nice and well put together and well lit and stuff. But and then a lot of the beauty channels have to be that sort of high level of stuff, and the ones that do well are like that. And then the people on, I mean, I don't know, people wouldn't watch a vlog that wasn't like good quality.
Yeah.
Like to grow your channel, you have to have good quality, and then you have to sort of pay for that quality. And so then, yeah, I don't know. It's like that authenticity, but make it perfect.
Right. Well, I think the other thing that you mentioned in the article that I thought was really interesting was this like disconnect between like prestige and reality. So you're talking about, I forget who it was that was, like she was still waitressing, but she had this very popular channel and she had to like quit her job because
a couple of fans would come in too.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think that's like really interesting.
A couple of them had to. One girl was a waitress. Yeah. And fans would come in and would be like, why are you serving brunch? Like, that's so weird. Like you're famous. Or like a girl that was working at Starbucks and in Seattle and fans memorized her schedule. So they would come in when they knew she was working. I've had concerns I was at the airport yesterday and I was standing with my boyfriend and a girl took a picture, was like up on another level of the airport and took a picture of us from above and like sent and then tweeted at us that picture and was like, I see you guys. So like I've had stuff like, so like to that level, that's the level I have where people will tweet me, just saw you driving, whatever. And if I work as a courier, I have to go to someone's house. If I go to someone's house, I know it's like, I know it seems like you're so full of yourself to think this, but like, what if they don't let me leave? Like, what if, like, I don't know. Like there's, you can't really going back to those, menial or, you know, the like jobs that other people would be able to just get to like support themselves. It's a little bit more difficult when you are doing stuff online. So,
well, no, I had I'm friends with someone that is like a very popular podcaster and it's like, because of the nature of podcasting is so intimate, it's like he's had problems with people just like driving by the house and like coming up and like leaving stuff on his, because it just became kind of like common knowledge where he lived.
Creepy.
Because,
and like no boundaries.
Yeah. Because, and it's like, I think it's that thing is because the nature of a podcast, like a YouTube show, is like people feel like they know you because it's, you're in their ear, you're in their home. It's like, it's very intimate.
I had a crazy thing where I was sitting at a diner with a friend of mine and this guy was, I didn't notice him. And he was apparently listening to our whole conversation and had Googled me and found out who I was and wrote this entire blog post about me and how I am in person and what I look like and how I walk and my accomplishments and how enamored he was watching me. And I didn't notice this person at all at the diner. I was just talking
that
to my friend.
That is weird.
No clue. And then he was like, there was some stuff she was talking about that I won't say because it's like, I don't want to, like, wink, wink, I won't, like, give away your secrets or whatever. And I was like, so now I have to, like, I'm not sure how I can talk in public. Like, what?
I had a similar thing where I was hanging out with my friend, Sarah Benincasa. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and I had been dating someone that was kind of famous, and mm-hmm. we were having a conversation about it, like, on the street. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, she turned to me, she's like, let's make up a different name for them.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Like, just in case, like, someone.
Right.
And I was like, what? And she was like, well, she's like, you don't even know when people recognize you.
Right.
Like, you don't, and I was like, it was this thing where it's like, I was like, oh yeah, because people don't come up to me because of the nature of what I do.
Right. They don't want to be like, porn.
Yeah. So she's like, you don't even know. Mm-hmm. If someone recognizes you, and then we're sitting here having this conversation, and I would just hate for, you know, it to become some sort of item on something just because, you
right.
know, and it was like, it was this weird moment where I was like, oh, that's like a thing I have to think about now. Mm-hmm. That's weird.
I've said to my, a bunch of times talking, even my younger sister, she's a personal assistant to someone famous, and she's also my sister. And I had a talk with her where I was like, just be careful what you say about me or about him, like, to anyone, like, in public, if you're talking to your friend at dinner or whatever, and you're talking about work, or you're talking about your sister, like, just be aware, because she works at a restaurant. This is the other thing. She's in some videos, but she's not famous. Like, she's not an internet celebrity person. Right. Like, my sister is not, she's just my sister who's sometimes on my Instagram. And she's had people come into her restaurant where she works and be like, you're Gabby's sister, I know you, and, like, bug her at work.
God, that is weird.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
I've is had people so I've strange. Had people find my brother on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, like,
no way.
And try to friend him.
Because I know you've
stuff.
Talked about him a lot through the years and mentioned him and da da da. And yeah. People have looked him up.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, people have looked him up, figure out who he is. I've had people figure out what my real name is mm-hmm. and stuff like that and find me on, like, because I have a Facebook that's like, I don't, my picture's not on there. It's just my real name. And it's literally just family and friends. There's, like, mm-hmm. no, and it was, like, very creepy the first time someone had found it.
Right.
And I was just like, there's not even, like, a profile picture. And, like, you know what I mean? That thing where it's like, I've made it so, the privacy setting so secret that it's like.
The interesting thing is that, like, a lot of times you would say, like, for like a Jenner Kardashian or something, you would say, well, they're making a lot of money, so it's fine. Which it's not fine. I watched a group of grown men chase Kendall Jenner down a street, and I was like, this is what we're okay with as a society. We're cool with that. She's like 20 years old. Anyway, so we're just like fine with this. So they'll say, like, well, monetarily, like, it's worth it to them. But if you're, like, still sort of, I mean, you and I are essentially independent contractors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, we're not seeing that kind of money, and we're not making that kind of money. And to deal with this stuff is also, like, an emotional toll. So on top of all the work you're doing for a full-time job, there is also, like, the emotional toll and the, like, weird thing of, like, being in the middle of a conversation with someone and then someone comes up. Like, I don't know, like, you just, the paranoia and the emotional aspect of it is, and also getting, like, shit talk, like, just being, people talking about me in the third person on my social media is also, like, so disturbing and upsetting to me, where it's like an emotional toll of, like, she looks fat commented, like, on my Instagram picture. And I'm like, I'm not, like, and they're like, sorry. And then if I respond, they're like, sorry, I didn't think you actually read these. Like, I'm not that famous. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like, I'm reading
right.
them because my yeah. friends comment and, like,
right.
like, or, like, the just they, you're so, you know what it is? It's that you're so dehumanized.
Yes.
You're just not a person.
Yeah.
Someone that I had worked with commented and was like, I hope that she's doing this. And I was like, hello, nice to see you, but person, like, that I sort of know commenting about me in the third person on my picture. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's very weird. Because you're not a person. You're just an object that
they're
commenting on.
Well, yeah. Well, I think it is that thing of, like, when people's... I have friends that think of me as a celebrity, and I mm-hmm. think that's hilarious. Do you know what I mean? I'm like...
But
like,
you're not seeing the problem. But
then we're, like, in the art museum, and it was, like, she wanted to... I was, like, trying to find a picture I'd taken where I was dressed like a man and I looked like a man. And I was, like, Googling myself on image search.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't remember, like, what blog, what magazine it was in. And she was like, that right there.
Right.
Like, you just Googled yourself looking for an image you knew existed online of you. She's like, you have to understand that, like, most people don't.
Right.
They don't.
Can't. And it's that thing of, like, it is a weird level of being a public person, but not
But not seeing the monetary gain from that, which sucks. And then, so that's what I wanted to get across in the article was like, I'm super grateful for all of the opportunities and all the stuff. I just don't like the assumption that I'm some sort of like wealthy asshole when like, and then it's sad. And then I'm like literally in my car hysterically crying about not having money, looking at a comment on Instagram about like what a rich asshole I am. And the disconnect is like heartbreaking. And and money is such a trigger for me and like such a thing that I've like my whole life, like, you know, like I'm not like your childhood's fun because it's your childhood. And then like when you look back, you're like, oh, that was fucked up. But like, like in terms of like, cause you don't realize until you compare yourself to other people, like how you grew up or like how, what money, you know, how that affected things or what kind of vacations you went on or what kind of whatever. Yeah. So like nothing bad against my parents or anything like that, but just it's just different. And then to have people who don't know me publicly being like, she's so wealthy from her YouTube channel is like just heartbreaking. And like, so that's why I wrote it, because it came from this like very emotional place.
It was, I mean, it was, for me, it was really eye opening because, you know, in my line of work, the struggle is real because for it's the same thing, which is people's disconnect from paying for content, whether it's porn or comedy or music, whatever it is. It's like there's we're now in a generation of this disconnect between like paying for stuff and like that we're I had just read this book called The Internet Is Not the Answer, which kind of talks about the economic toll of the sharing economy and how like how it's disenfranchised like whole classes of people, specifically artists, and like what is going to be the long-term effect of creatives being driven into other job fields because they can't make money, and like what is like basically saying like what's going to happen to our culture when we don't really have artists anymore because you know they can't survive
like for the visibility.
Right.
That you don't need money, you should be grateful for the visibility. So if someone watches your a porn that you did on a tube site, then you get mad. They go, why are you mad? I'm a fan of yours and you should be grateful that I'm watching it. And it's like, well, how is that gratefulness going to buy me dinner?
Like, well, no, that's just wondering. And that's, I mean, that was kind of like my whole joke about like people trying to like use the internet to turn likes and faves into rent money, you know, and they usually just end up with a podcast.
Yeah. No, but it's, but what you guys are saying is something I've dealt with for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it is that whole thing about, I always tell people 20 years ago, what my day rate was 20 years ago to what it is today.
Right.
It's small compared to what it once was.
You do have to ask, though. I've had a few things where like people, they don't want to pay you. But if you say like, oh, I'd really love to, my day rate is this. But that's like a weird thing that I had to learn to do.
But it's I find nowadays, that's why nowadays I just tell people, they I'll just do it for free because I don't even want to bother trying to ask for it because you can't afford me anyway. So let's just cut the crap and let's just do it for free and have some fun. And that way it's a lot easier and nobody stresses out about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, but my landlord's going, who cares? We want the rent.
Right.
And you're like, oh, shit, I got to figure out another way. I just think it's just the internet and all this stuff you're talking about, YouTube, everything. I just think you just have to figure out a way to make it work. And I think 20, 30 years ago, we still had to figure out, had to figure out how to make money.
I mean, the thing now is like diversifying, like having a podcast, a YouTube show, a blog,
but I can tell you,
you know,
but
doing
I can,
appearances like that. It's like,
I can tell you every friend I have in LA, it doesn't matter if they're in TV, film, movies, porn, photography, they all ask the same question. How do we make money in this world today? And that's what it comes down to.
It sucks to be like, I mean, I'm happy about the, like, ooh. Oh, it could be a thing where the internet is the answer in the sense of like a Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, like paid, like that kind of stuff makes sense to me, but it's a mirror of the old model. It's not like you've blown it up and started again and wow, you're a revolutionary.
Right.
Like it's still kind of the same as like the old model. So Allison and I want to be showrunners. We want to be TV writers. We want to be creators. We've done stuff where we've been the EPs and the creators and the stars, and we wrote it, like all that. So that's what we want to do. And whether that's on something like YouTube Originals, which is now like their paid, you know, thing, or if it's on Netflix or if it's on Amazon or if it's on like TBS and TV is actually a thing that's around for the next 20 years, whatever. It's not like we want to, I just get nervous because kids say, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. And it's like, no, you don't. You want to be a writer or you want to be a
producer. Right, right.
Or you want to be a porn star.
Or you want to be a porn star. You don't want to be.
I mean, for me, it was just a relief to read an article and see someone being honest about money, you know? Like because I feel like so much of the problem is social media in the sense that like people like, it's like aspirational living through Instagram. It's like you've got 18-year-old girls that have never had a job trying to compete with like Kim Kardashian's Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, and so it's like no one's being honest. And I think it's true, like any entertainment field, like it happens in porn where it's like, well, I get this much per scene and I'm working probably this many times a month. And it's like, and there's a point when you just stop and you go like, practically speaking, that's just not possible because I know how many jobs are available each month and how many girls want them. So like, but it's like people perpetuate this idea that they're making tons of money. And then they turn around and go like, why do people think I have all this money? And it's like, well, you're posting your Louboutins on Instagram. You're posting your Hawaiian vacation.
But it makes
other
people feel bad, like other YouTubers. You want to seem like you're making a lot of money. So then all YouTubers are like, well, I guess if they're making a lot of money and I'm not, then you feel stupid and ashamed.
Yeah.
But like, but the rule number one in LA is it's better to look good than to be good. So everybody's, you know, you got to put up you got to look good. It's like I always tell people, it's like the hip hop artist who has the chains, but then turns around and goes home to a dump of an apartment in Compton.
Right.
You know, that happens all the time.
Yeah. It's like that. Or, I mean, but you're also another thing that I talk about in the article is that you're also expected to seem like humble or to seem like, like you're also expected, like if I were showing off chains or Louis Vuittons or whatever, then they would get even angrier in the comments.
Right. Right.
Like there would be even like it's depends. 'Cause if you're a beauty vlogger, a lot of times you do want to seem like you have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But are you okay?
We have
another. Richard Avery got a guest.
I just found the guy on the street.
We got a visitor.
What I was saying is that if I did seem like I had a lot of, like, if you're a beauty vlogger and you're supposed to seem like you have a lot of money and you have all the products and you have all the things or whatever. But I don't know. And then I don't know what the turning point is where they start like hating on you for it, or they start like, I don't know. I can't figure it out because I couldn't.
My advice to everybody, first of all, is I tell everybody all the time, especially kids. I say, don't believe anything you see or hear on the internet. One. Number two, don't believe anybody's numbers. I get people through the years always saying to me, I do this, I make this much, or I have this.
They're lying.
Everybody lies. Everybody exaggerates. Everybody bullshits.
Yeah.
And so you just don't believe anything.
But there's also like, I just went skiing for the very first time in my life. Never been skiing. I went with my boyfriend's family. They ski all the time. So I went with them skiing. I posted a video of me skiing for the first time. And one girl went through my comments and was like, fuck you, you privileged fucking piece of shit. How dare you go skiing? So like and I was like, do you know anything about me? I've never been, this is my first, like, what are you talking about? And she was like, skiing is a privilege, so you must be wealthy, so fuck you. And like, and I was like, do you know me at all? Like,
mean fans.
I went on a nice vacation, courtesy of my boyfriend's family, which is very lovely of them, to do something I've never done before. Like, I personally paid for none of it. So, like, it was this very weird, there's this backlash against, like, people. Like, you can, I don't know, sometimes there's a certain level of celebrity you can reach where you're, like, expected, like, you have to be doing this. Like, Taylor Swift was in Vail. Like, and she's like, of course she's in Vail. She's rich. But then if I'm in Vail, fuck you. And it's, like, this weird thing where, like, it was just such a, like, it's, like, then they get mad. Always I have no money. I'll let you know when I have money. It's never. They'll just turn on you for even being like, I did a nice thing for myself once. Yeah. Then they flip and they yell at you. It's crazy.
You have crazy fans. That's what the problem is. You're fine. Uh-huh. They're screwed.
Well, no, I think the problem is like everything's about being relatable. And then once they relate to you and then they if they feel like you're outpacing them in any way, it's like, fuck you for leaving me behind.
Jealousy?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
But also like, if I was like, you're obviously you're obviously not a fan of mine, because if you knew me at all or knew anything about me, you would know that I just wrote this article. You would know that I have this channel that I put all my money into, and you would know that I have a boyfriend whose family like skis. Like if you looked into me even a little bit, you would know that this is like my first time skiing and I've never been to this place before and this is a one-off like special treat and like whatever. But I was like, obviously you're not, like I just blocked them because I was like, you're not a fan of mine, like you're not here to like enjoy my content and be a fan, so see ya.
Wow.
But that's like the attitude to have too at the end of the day, is like, yeah, you know, people are either going to get it or they're not going to get it. And it's
just
it's
so
not really
bizarre.
You have to get to the point where you just don't give a fuck.
No, I just wanted to write.
It's
that's
hard
why
though, because
I feel
you live on social media as a modern person. You live on social media, and it's like it's hard when you're like getting blasted at every angle with like,
yeah,
who the fuck are you? It's like it's hard to like rise above and be like,
yeah. Well, I wrote the article hopefully as like a. It was nice because now like people, if someone is mean, someone else will link them to the article.
Where's the article at?
It's on Fusion. Okay. So Fusion does videos, and they also have a TV channel, and they're based out of Miami. But one of my very good friends is an editor there. Her name's Nona Willis-Aronowitz, and she's been my editor at like three different publications. Like, I don't even care who I write for. I just follow her. So I pitched this to her when she was working somewhere else, and then she was like, I'm actually going to a new job. So wait and pitch me there.
Because I want to get on there and tweet this thing. And
Yeah.
Everybody should read it.
Yeah, it was. I was retweeting it all day when good. It came out. Because I was like, this is like.
She's a very good editor too. She like pushes me to write more and better.
But it's also like I said, it's just like, it was a very frank discussion of money and on social media, that's like, it's so taboo. Like I said, it's like so
terrified.
Much of social media is all about the artifice.
I was terrified.
Glamour and
I'm still like, I get very embarrassed. I actually thought I had like a little panic like 2 days ago where I like, and the article's been out. People have seen it. It's fine. But I had like a minor panic where I was like, I'm embarrassed. People know. Oh my God, I should have to take it.
No.
And then
no,
it's like,
no.
don't ask them to take it down. Like, what good is that going to do? Like, nothing. But yeah, I was like, I shouldn't have done that.
No, the best part is that, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now, when you are making serious bank, you get to look back at that and say, I was there. Reminder.
That's what I know it's like. Allison says that anytime something bad happens or I don't have money or something, she'll be like, this will be a really funny story for the Tonight Show. Don't worry. And I'm like,
well, who my mom's very similar to that. Wait, so yeah. She'll say things like that. She'll be like, one day this is going to be like totally hilarious.
Yeah, Allison's like, this will be great when we do panel on Conan.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Well, who was the guest we had on here that talked about money? The girl.
Sarah Schaefer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Schaefs.
Another, you've mentioned two Sarahs I enjoy very much.
Yeah.
Benincasa and Schaefer.
Yeah.
Because she talked about.
That's what I was thinking of that while you were talking, because the last person I had on here that Sarah Schaefer like was very frank about that when she got her job at. On MTV, mm-hmm. She was $60,000 in debt.
Yes, I remember that.
And that it was like this shameful secret.
I remember that.
She had been like living off of credit cards. And like all of that had been happening while she was working at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, I wish there were more like your article. And she, it was like a mini documentary, Modern Comedian.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And it was like,
her boyfriend Scott Moran made it.
Yeah.
He's great too.
And I feel like there's like the problem with so many people is they're just like kind of financially illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because no one really pushes those kinds of articles and those kinds of things.
They also don't teach it in school.
Nope.
Like
that's where the business classes come.
In college about that. And I also like, I've used, that's the other thing is that even if I do make a big payday on a sponsored video, I used that money, like the one we did for Thanksgiving. I used that money to pay Allison back. I owed her like $700+. I paid Allison money. I owed someone else money, and I paid my credit card, one of my credit cards, like that. And then people are like, "You made $10,000," and I'm like, "Not really." The multi-channel network takes part of that, and then I owe people money.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's not what it looks like.
Yeah, and it's not, and it's not stable. It's not like it's not like being salaried where it's like you know
you
each
also,
month
yeah.
and like, and that has its own psychological toll.
Mm. Oh, you have no idea.
Well, no, like having been in my job for like almost 5 years now, it's like it when it pays good, it pays great. But the thing is month to month, you never know how much you're gonna have. So
yeah,
it's like you feel broke all the time because you don't know how much you have to spend because you don't know how long what you have in your bank account is going to have to last
stretch,
you.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to have to last 3 months or 3 weeks? I don't know. And so you feel kind of broken, scared the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I take job. I mean, I got paid to write that Fusion article. Like I take, you know, when we started the channel, I mean, we worked at BuzzFeed, which was a salaried job. I came out to LA and I was a reporter for the Daily Dot, which was a salaried job. I've always had, like, when people are like, why don't you just get a job? Like, yeah, I've had
but
jobs.
But in today's economy, one job is like
right.
kind of not really
not,
enough.
I've had jobs. I mean, Allison and I also, we do freelance and we work part time for a bunch of places. You just don't realize that we're doing that.
Yeah. It's like
we have jobs.
Yeah. I cam and then I do my on camera work. And then I also do paid blogging,
mm-hmm.
like ghost blogging for like a bunch of different, it's a combination of all these things
yeah.
to like,
we write scripts for SourceFed. We've acted in SourceFed stuff. We'll do videos for like, I mean, I don't know if I want to say all the places, but like, Allison and I are writing for other places besides our channel.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a lot, it's cobbling together a lot of like $100, $200,
mm-hmm.
like,
mm-hmm.
and then cobbling all that
did
together.
Did a thing for Cracked. Okay. You made $100. Like
yeah.
just, you know, various
yeah.
like little jobs. Oh man, I have so many, my taxes are going to be a nightmare.
Right.
So
no, every checks. Like my, yeah, I get probably 30 or 40.
Mm-hmm. Little checks.
Little things in
oh,
the mail
yeah.
at tax time.
1099s.
1099s, yeah.
It's really bad.
I'm real financially. I just, it's 1099. I didn't know that.
It's okay.
I do file my taxes. If anyone from the government is listening, I absolutely file my taxes.
Believe
and
me,
I do
and they're a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by again.
Yeah,
this was
thanks
like
for
awesome.
Having me.
Do you want to tell people all the places they can find you if they are not familiar with your work?
You can find me on youtube.com/justbetweenusshow and at Gabby Dunn, GabyDunn on Twitter and at Gabby Road, which is a hilarious Beatles reference I came up with in high school, on my Instagram. Because when I started Instagram, I thought nobody could see your username. Great. Also, and now someone else has Gabby Dunn. So fuck that person. Allison and I have a Patreon, which is actually a really good thing for YouTubers where all of our content remains free. However, if you want to pledge $1 per video, you can. You don't have to. Everything's free anyway. Sometimes I'll post ugly photos of myself just for patrons, but like in different coffee shops with thumbs ups. But that's the most probably you'll get unless you're really jonesing for those. And that our Patreon is Just Between Us as well. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And for those of you that don't know who I am, which why would you be listening to this if you didn't know who I was? You can find me on Twitter at Sovereign Sire, on Instagram at Sovereign_Sire, at my lovely, amazing website, ilovesov.com, on julielandradio.com, on youtube.com, on the Wisecrack channel. You can find my show, Boss Bitches of History. And I think that's everything. Sometimes I cam on Cam Soda and sometimes I do stand up now. So that's a thing. But you can find all that info on Twitter. Bye, everybody.